March Madness is underway. The NCAA men's basketball tournament started yesterday, and already there have been down-to-the-wire games and upsets. The women's tournament starts tomorrow, and joining me now, as he does most Fridays, is Wall Street Journal sports writer Stefan Fatsis. Welcome once again, Stefan.
Hi, Robert.
Before we talk about the women's tournament, as we promised to do last week, I'd like you to tell us about another annual March Madness ritual, the examination of graduation rates of schools in the tournaments.
Another unimpressive performance by the men. More than two-thirds of the teams in the men's tournament, 44 schools out of 65, had graduation rates for the basketball program of below 50%. For the classes enrolling from 1993 to 1996, four of the schools in the tournament didn't graduate a single player within 6 years of their enrollment, and these numbers were released by the sports reform group, the Knight Commission Foundation on Intercollegiate Athletics.
But the data this year are slightly different than the way the data were released in years past. We don't know who the real offenders are, those schools that couldn't manage to graduate a single player, for
That's
example.
Right. The Federal Education Department last year ruled that graduation information can't be released for a class in which fewer than three scholarship athletes graduate. So if you look up the data on the NCAA's website for the 16 teams in the current tournament that didn't report any data, you'll see asterisks in place of rates for the teams and for African-American players, and that's important because African-American players have far lower graduation rates than other players, and a lot of people feel that hiding these rates shields colleges from having to do a better job of graduating players, especially the ones that need the most help. The Knight Commission, by the way, got the data for those 16 schools from the NCAA without the names of the schools attached.
Well, when it comes to graduating players, are the women's teams in the tournament this year any better than the men's teams?
They are, as you might imagine they would be, given that the women's game isn't yet the cutthroat world that the men's game is. 53 of the 64 schools in the women's tournament graduated at least half of their players for the same period. Now, if you carried out the brackets that we all fill out for the tournament's competition, based on the graduation rates, here's what you would get. First, you'd have to throw out the Ivy League schools and the military academies because they don't give any athletic scholarships. And so in the men's side, you'd have Stanford with 100% graduation rate beating Lehigh at 90% in the finals. And on the women's side, Colgate has a perfect score. They would beat Stanford 93% and then Montana and 92% in the final game.
Well, okay, let's take a look at the women's tournament as far as the basketball is concerned now. In past years, there have been two powerhouses, really, Connecticut and Tennessee. This year, not so.
No. Look at it this way. Connecticut had won 70 straight games through last year. They brought back the same five starting players, and they lost four times this season. The Huskies didn't even earn a top seed in the tournament. That's the first time they haven't done that in a long while. You've got Duke, Texas, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Connecticut too. Somebody else could win the tournament. There's a lot more parity.
Why? Why more parity in the women's game than in the past?
On the women's side, you now have more girls playing basketball for a longer time. The talent is starting to filter up into the college ranks. There's more attention being paid to the sport. There's heavier recruiting in the sport. Schools are agreeing to spend more to support programs. There's a women's league for players to look up to. So colleges are investing more in women's basketball.
The women's game is very much about good technique, passing, the below-the-rim game, as we say only in sports, the fundamentals. But I understand that actually this game there has been a dunk by a woman player who's in the tournament.
She's in the tournament. Her name is Sancho Little. She's a 6'4" forward for the University of Houston. And when she dunked on a fast break during a game against Gonzaga in November, she became just the fourth woman to do so in a college game. No one has ever dunked in the NCAA tournament, but you can bet that if Little or someone else does, we're going to see a lot of it. That's because ESPN is showing every one of the 63 women's games on one channel or another. And when they get a good highlight, they beat it to death.
Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal talks with us on Fridays about sports and the business of sports. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Robert.